Chapter 4, Methods of Teaching. Parental Government to be a Study. The work of the parent is seldom done as it should be. Parents, have you studied parental government that you may wisely train the will and impulse of your child? Teach the young tendrils to entwine about God for support. It is not enough to say, do this or do that, and then become utterly regardless and forgetful of what you have required, and the children are not careful to do your commands. Prepare the way for your children to obey your commands cheerfully. Teach the tendrils to cling to Jesus. Teach them to ask the Lord to help them in the little things of life, to be wide awake to see the small duties which need to be done, to be helpful in a home. If you do not educate them, there is one who will, for Satan is watching his opportunity to sow the seeds of tares in the heart. Approach task with restful spirit and loving heart. My sister, has God entrusted you with the responsibilities of a mother? You need to learn right methods and acquire tact for the training of your little ones, that they may keep the way of the Lord. You need to seek constantly the highest culture of the mind and soul, that you may bring to the education and training of your children a restful spirit, a loving heart, that you may imbue them with pure aspirations and cultivate in them a love for things honest and pure and holy. As a humble child of God, learn in the school of Christ. Seek constantly to improve your powers, that you may do the most perfect, thorough work at home and by both precept and example. The effect of a quiet, gentle manner. Few realize the effect of a firm, mild manner, even in the care of an infant. The fretful, impatient mother or nurse creates peevishness in the child in her arms, whereas a gentle manner tends to quiet the nerves of the little one. Theories are to be tested. The study of books will be of little benefit unless the ideas gained can be carried out in practical life, and yet the most valuable suggestions of others should not be adopted without thought and discrimination. They may not be equally adapted to the circumstances of every mother or to the peculiar disposition or temperament of each child in the family. Let the mother study with care the experience of others, note the difference between their methods and her own, and carefully test those that appear to be of real value. Methods employed in ancient times. From the earliest times, the faithful in Israel had given much attention to the matter of education. The Lord had directed that the children, even from babyhood, should be taught of His goodness and His greatness, especially as revealed in His law and shown in the history of Israel. Through song and prayer and lessons from the Scriptures adapted to the opening mind, fathers and mothers were to instruct their children that the law of God is an expression of His character, and that as they received the principles of the law into the heart, the image of God was traced on mind and soul. In both the school and the home, much of the teaching was oral, but the youth also learned to read the Hebrew writings, and the parchment rolls of the Old Testament Scriptures were open to their study. Teach with kindliness and affection. It is the special work of fathers and mothers to teach their children with kindliness and affection. They are to show that as parents they are the ones to hold the lines, to govern and not to be governed by their children. They are to teach that obedience is required of them. The restless spirit naturally inclines to mischief. The active mind, if left unoccupied with better things, will give heed to that which Satan may suggest. The children need to be instructed, to be guided in safe paths, to be kept from vice, to be won by kindness, and be confirmed in well-doing. Fathers and mothers, you have a solemn work to do. The eternal salvation of your children depends upon your course of action. How will you successfully educate your children? Not by scolding, for it will do no good. Talk to your children as if you had confidence in their intelligence. Deal with them kindly, tenderly, lovingly. Tell them what God would have them do. Tell them that God would have them educated and trained to be laborers together with Him. When you act your part, you can trust the Lord to act His part. Take time to reason. Every mother should take time to reason with her children, to correct their errors and patiently teach them the right way. vary the manner of instruction. The greatest care should be taken in the education of youth to vary the manner of instruction so as to call forth the high and noble powers of the mind. There are very few who realize the most essential wants of the mind and how to direct the developing intellect, the growing thoughts and feelings of youth. Teach the first lessons in the out-of-doors. Mothers, let the little ones play in the open air. Let them listen to the songs of the birds and learn the love of God as expressed in His beautiful works. Teach them simple lessons from the book of nature and the things about them, and as their minds expand, lessons from books may be added and firmly fixed in their memory. The cultivation of the soil is good work for children and youth. It brings them into direct contact with nature and nature's God, and that they may have this advantage, there should be, as far as possible in connection with our schools, large flower gardens and extensive lands for cultivation. An education amid such surroundings is in accordance with the directions which God has given for the instruction of the youth. To the nervous child or youth who finds lessons from books exhausting and hard to remember, it will be especially valuable. There is health and happiness for him in the study of nature, and the impressions made will not fade out of his mind, for they will be associated with objects that are continually before his eyes. Make lessons short and interesting. When parents thoroughly act their part, giving them line upon line and precept upon precept, making their lessons short and interesting, and teaching them not only by precept but by example, the Lord will work with their efforts and make them efficient teachers. Say it simply, say it often. Those who instruct children should avoid tedious remarks. Short remarks and to the point will have a happy influence. If much is to be said, make up for briefness by frequency. A few words of interest now and then will be more beneficial than to have it all at once. Long speeches burden the small minds of children. Too much talk will lead them to loathe even spiritual instruction, just as overeating burdens the stomach and lessens the appetite, leading even to a loathing of food. The minds of the people may be glutted with too much speechifying. Encourage independent thinking. While the children and youth gain a knowledge of facts from teachers and textbooks, let them learn to draw lessons and discern truth for themselves. In their gardening, question them as to what they learn from the care of the plants. As they look on a beautiful landscape, ask them why God clothed the fields and woods with such lovely and varied hues. Why was not all colored a somber brown? When they gather the flowers, lead them to think why He spared us the beauty of these wanderers from Eden. Tell them to notice the evidences everywhere manifest in nature of God's thoughts for us, the wonderful adaptation of all things to our need and happiness. Direct childhood activity. Parents need not feel that it is necessary to repress the activities of their children, but they are to understand that it is essential to guide and train them in right and proper directions. These active impulses are like the vines that, if untrained, will run over every stump and brush and fasten their tendrils upon low supports. If the vines are not trained about some proper support, they waste their energies to no purpose. So it is with children. Their activities must be trained in the right direction. Give their hands and minds something to do that will advance them in physical and mental attainments. Teach helpfulness at an early age. Very early the lesson of helpfulness should be taught the child. As soon as strength and reasoning power are sufficiently developed, he should be given duties to perform in the home. He should be encouraged in trying to help father and mother, encouraged to deny and to control himself, to put others' happiness and convenience before his own, to watch for opportunities to cheer and assist brothers and sisters and playmates, and to show kindness to the sick, the aged, and the unfortunate. The more fully the spirit of true ministry pervades the home, the more fully it will be developed in the lives of the children. They will learn to find joy in service and sacrifice for the good of others. Parents, help your children to do the will of God by being faithful in the performance of the duties which really belong to them as members of the family. This will give them a most valuable experience. It will teach them that they are not to center their thoughts upon themselves, to do their own pleasure or to amuse themselves. patiently educate them to act their part in the family circle. Fashion character by little attentions often repeated. Parents, in the training of your children, study the lessons that God has given in nature. If you would train a pink or rose or lily, how would you do it? Ask the gardener by what process he makes every branch and leaf to flourish so beautifully and to develop in symmetry and loveliness. He will tell you that it was by no rude touch, no violent effort, for this would only break the delicate stems. It was by little attentions, oft and repeated. He moistened the soil and protected the growing plants from the fierce blast and from the scorching sun, and God caused them to flourish and to blossom into loveliness. In dealing with your children, follow the method of the gardener. By gentle touches, by loving ministrations, seek to fashion their characters after the pattern of the character of Christ. Give attention to little things. What a great mistake is made in the education of children and youth in favoring, indulging, and petting them. They become selfish and inefficient and lack energy in the little things of life. They are not trained to acquire strength of character by the performance of everyday duties, lowly though they may be. No one is qualified for great and important work unless he has been faithful in the performance of little duties. It is by degrees that the character is formed and that the soul is trained to put forth effort and energy proportionate to the task which is to be accomplished. Talented children require greater care. We should imprint upon our children's minds that they are not their own, to go and to come and to dress and act as they please. If they possess personal attractions and rare natural abilities, greater care should be taken in their education, lest these endowments be turned to a curse and are so used as to disqualify them for the sober realities of this life, and through flattery and vanity and love of display unfit them for the better life. Refrain from undue notice or flattery. Give children but little notice. Let them learn to amuse themselves. Do not put them on exhibition before visitors as prodigies of wit or wisdom, but leave them as far as possible to the simplicity of their childhood. One great reason why so many children are forward, bold, and impertinent is that they are noticed and praised too much, and their smart, sharp sayings repeated in their hearing. Endeavor not to censure unduly, nor to overwhelm with praise and flattery. Satan will all too soon sow evil seed in their young hearts, and you should not aid him in this work. Read to your children. Fathers and mothers, obtain all the help you can from the study of our books and publications. Take time to read to your children. Form a home reading circle in which every member of the family shall lay aside the busy cares of the day and unite in study. Especially will the youth who have been accustomed to reading novels and cheap storybooks receive benefit from joining in the family evening study. Train, not tell. To parents is committed the great work of educating and training their children for the future immortal life. Many fathers and mothers seem to think that if they feed and clothe their little ones and educate them according to the standard of the world, they have done their duty. They are too much occupied with business or pleasure to make the education of their children the study of their lives. They do not seek to train them so that they will employ their talents for the honor of their Redeemer. Solomon did not say, "Tell a child the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it," but "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." Educate for self-control. No work ever undertaken by man requires greater care and skill than the proper training and education of youth and children. There are no influences so potent as those which surround us in our early years. The nature of man is threefold, and the training enjoined by Solomon comprehends the right development of the physical, intellectual, and moral powers. To perform this work aright, parents and teachers must themselves understand the way the child should go. This embraces more than a knowledge of books or the learning of the schools. It comprehends the practice of temperance, brotherly kindness, and godliness, the discharge of our duty to ourselves, to our neighbors, and to God. The training of children must be conducted on a different principle from that which governs the training of irrational animals. The brute has only to be accustomed to submit to its master, but the child must be taught to control himself. The will must be trained to obey the dictates of reason and conscience. A child may be so disciplined as to have, like the beast, no will of his own, his individuality being lost in that of his teachers. Such training is unwise, and its effect disastrous. Children thus educated will be deficient in firmness and decision. They are not taught to act from principle. The reasoning powers are not strengthened by exercise. So far as possible, every child should be trained to self-reliance. By calling into exercise the various faculties, he will learn where he is strongest and in what he is deficient. A wise instructor will give special attention to the development of the weaker traits, that the child may form a well-balanced, harmonious character.